Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 21st, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden releases another flurry of executive orders taking aim at the pandemic.
Opposition to the president's stimulus plan emerges with Republican senators questioning the cost.
Twitter takes action against the Chinese embassy to the U.S.
And the world hits another grim milestone in the fight against COVID-19.
Three National Guard troops are dead after a helicopter crash in New York State. Plus, the Senate confirms the first woman as U.S. intelligence chief. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. It was the first game with the Nets' big three all playing together. They lost in double overtime in Cleveland.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 29. NASDAQ futures up 58. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. CAC in Paris down 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 0.8%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was lower, down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.08%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 34 cents at $52.97 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.40 at $1,873.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2138 against the dollar. The yen at 103.42. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with another flurry of executive orders from President Biden. Just this morning, the White House issued orders aimed at ramping up the fight against the pandemic. That includes reversing moves by Biden's predecessor. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden will invoke the Defense Production Act to boost production and distribution of vaccines, tests, and PPE. Another order creates a national testing board for a unified approach to testing and double testing supplies. He'll direct federal agencies to improve data collection and reporting for high-risk populations. States that have deployed the National Guard would be reimbursed, and the U.S. is returning to the World Health Organization. Other orders focus on travel, requiring masks on inner-city buses, trains, ships, in airports, and on airplanes. People who arrive in the U.S. from other countries will have to show they have a negative test, and then they'll have to quarantine. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. President Biden capped off his inauguration day with remarks from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial last night and called on America to unify.
I've never been more optimistic about America than I am this very day. There isn't anything we can't do if we do it together.
The president noted historic challenges facing the country, but his calls for cooperation will be tested. He's already facing confirmation roadblocks for cabinet picks and contentious negotiations over his stimulus plan.
Now, several GOP senators, including Mitt Romney, have concern over Biden's $1.9 trillion relief measure. Consideration of the package will also be complicated by impeachment proceedings. We spoke with Democratic representative from New York, Carolyn Maloney.
I think we can do both at the same time. We have to get the resources out across the country to help this country recover from COVID. We're in a fight or a race against the virus. We have to get vaccines out. In New York, we've absolutely used up all our vaccines. We need more resources coming to help the medical establishment and to help the people.
Representative Maloney spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On, which you can hear weekdays at 5 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Turning to other news now, Twitter is taking action on human rights in China. The social network has locked the account of the Chinese embassy to the U.S. That's after a post that defended Beijing's policies in the western region of Xinjiang, where China is accused of forced sterilization of minority Uyghurs. We get more from Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner.
Until they go in, remove that tweet at Twitter's request, they won't have access to the account again. In theory, they could go in right now and delete it and should have the account back shortly after that. But it sounds like they're not willing to go in and make that change.
The move complicates efforts to reset U.S.-China relations under President Biden. It also comes as Beijing sanctions 28 former Trump administration officials.
Turning to the pandemic now, we have another grim milestone. There's a new record for global fatalities as daily deaths surpass 17,500. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. John.
And Nathan, President Joe Biden's team is increasingly worried the coronavirus pandemic is spiraling out of control. That as vaccinations lag and a more transmissible strain emerges. In an interview with Bloomberg, Moderna's chairman, Noufar Afeyan, was more optimistic, saying nothing prevents his company from playing its role in a more aggressive vaccine rollout.
At least on our side, the production, the quality checks, and the supply distribution capability exists for us to be able to play our part in meeting that objective. And so far, nothing we see discourages us.
The U.S. death toll now stands at 406,000. But there are signs of hope. Weekly coronavirus deaths are forecast to dip in about a month. Well, so far, the U.S. has administered more than 17 million vaccine doses. You can get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, on Wall Street, earnings for big banks are wrapping up. Now we're learning more about the outlook for bonuses this year. Bloomberg News has learned that Citigroup will reduce bonuses for top executives after a reprimand from regulators. And Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
A source says the reductions may vary widely depending on the size and structure of each executive's pay package. Executives who report directly to the management committee are being told this month of the decision. Citigroup's board is still weighing final compensation decisions for the 15-member executive management team, including CEO Michael Corbat. The move is another sign of the effort Citigroup is making to appease the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency and the Federal Reserve after both regulators ding the bank for failing to properly maintain risk management systems and other internal systems. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Coming up later this morning, the European Central Bank issues its latest policy decision. Stay tuned for details on that at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by remarks from ECB President Christine Lagarde at 8:30.
And again, futures are on the rise. S&P futures up about 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 33 and NASDAQ futures up 56. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Senate confirmed Avril Haines as Director of National Intelligence.
On this vote, the yeas are 84, the nays are 10. The nomination is confirmed.
Haines is the first woman to oversee the nation's spy agencies and the first member of President Joe Biden's cabinet to win approval. Haines pledged that she'll never let politics affect decision-making in the collection and use of intelligence. Three new Democratic senators were also sworn in yesterday, giving a 50-50 split in the chamber, with Vice President Kamala Harris the tiebreaker. It gives the Democrats the majority. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This will be an exceptionally busy and consequential period for the United States Senate. There is much to do, and we are ready to get to work.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on working with President Biden.
So I congratulate my friend from Delaware. Look forward to working with him as our new president wherever possible.
Three National Guard members on a training flight were killed last night when their helicopter crashed in a farmer's field in western New York. The Black Hawk medical evacuation helicopter crashed around 6:30 p.m. in Mendon, a rural town south of Rochester. Monroe County Sheriff Todd Baxter.
This is a heavy, heavy burden upon all of us. These are our freedom providers. And again, just showing again that the freedom is not free. We lost three great Americans today in the service of our country.
The FAA said it would take part in the crash investigation. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said flags on state buildings would be lowered to half staff today to pay tribute to the troops. President Biden said that his predecessor, Donald Trump, left him a very generous letter before leaving Washington ahead of his inauguration. However, new White House press secretary Jen Psaki would not disclose the exact content.
It was both generous and gracious, and it was just a reflection of him not planning to release the letter unilaterally, but I wouldn't take it as an indication of a pending call.
It was Psaki's first daily press briefing in the Biden administration. Members of the far-right group, the Proud Boys, are now said to be mocking President Trump, saying he'll go down as a total failure. The New York Times reports the group who were among then President Trump's loyalist fans, are now calling him weak as more of them are charged for storming the U.S. Capitol. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. John Stashire has a Bloomberg Sports update.
All right, Nathan, the Nets and Cavs played a wild one in Cleveland. Brooklyn made its first 10 shots and took the lead. Then a 17-0 run by the Cavs. They led by 13 in the fourth quarter. The Nets rallied. The game went to overtime. Then a second OT. That's when one Cav took over.
Sexton out front against Durant as Durant picked him up on the switch. Sexton, six on the clock. Three ball. There's another one! Colin Sexton! Absolutely sizzling from downtown. 139, 131. Cavs by eight.
Cavs radio the call. Colin Sexton would then make another three-pointer. 42 points, 15 of them in that second overtime, and Cleveland won 147 to 135. It was the Nets' first game with Kevin Durant, that just returned from his absence, Kyrie Irving, and the recently acquired James Harden, all playing together. They combined for 96 points. Harden had a triple-double. Same two teams play again tomorrow in Cleveland. The Knicks start a West Coast road trip tonight at Golden State. And the NBA's now had 16 games postponed. They say there should be no more hugs, handshakes, or high fives during games. Elbow and fist bumps are allowed. Phillip Rivers, technically drafted by the Giants in 2004 and then traded to the Chargers, for Eli Manning. Now a year after Eli retired, Rivers announced his retirement. Played this past season for the Colts after 16 years with the Chargers. Rivers retires fifth all-time in passing yards and TD passes. Dan Campbell wants a backup tight end for the Giants. Named the new head coach in Detroit. He had most recently been an assistant in New Orleans. The Jets' new coach, Rob Salah, will be formally introduced today. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
And John, there are now five colleges that have produced both presidents and Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks. Joe Biden and former Ravens QB Joe Flacco both went to Delaware. Others, according to USA Today, Michigan products Tom Brady and Gerald Ford. The Naval Academy produced Jimmy Carter and Roger Staubach. Herbert Hoover, John Elway, and Jim Plunkett went to Stanford. And from the University of Miami, Ben Roethlisberger and Benjamin Harrison. Now you know. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are climbing to records in optimism that fiscal spending will revive economic growth and bolster corporate earnings. Futures are higher after the Nasdaq jumped more than 2% yesterday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7.5 points, Dow futures up 35, Nasdaq futures up 54. The DAX in Germany's up about 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.08%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 35 cents at $52.96 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $4.40 at $18.74.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2135 against the dollar. British pound 1.3721. And the yen is at 103.43. And today we are watching for reports on housing starts and building permits out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the weekly report on initial jobless claims. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Biden is issuing another flurry of executive orders aimed at fighting the pandemic. The president announced plans to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost vaccine and testing supplies. He'll create a national testing board and require masks on buses, trains, and airplanes. President Biden also says the U.S. will rejoin the World Health Organization. The Senate confirmed Avril Haines to be President Biden's Director of National Intelligence. President Biden is expected to nominate Michael Barr, the smarter one, as comptroller of the currency. That's according to Dow Jones about the former Treasury Department official. In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Cavaliers in double overtime. The Celtics lost. The Warriors won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, the old one. This is Bloomberg.
I'd put your intellect up against anyone, even in a new administration. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we get set for the first full day of the Biden administration, we are very pleased to be joined once again from Washington by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. After a very busy day for you on Inauguration Day, great to have you on with us, Emily. We just heard from Michael Barr a rundown of some of the new executive orders that this president has put out in just the last few hours here. Can you give us some more details on what the new president is planning for today?
Biden is really trying to make sure that he's starting off his presidency on a strong foot with lots of action. I mean, we heard him categorize yesterday that America is in the mode of multiple crises happening at once, and he's really trying to focus specifically on the coronavirus. Yesterday, he signed 17 executive orders. A lot of those are focused at sort of either overturning or revoking things that the Trump administration had done. Today, he's going to focus, sign 10 executive orders on fighting the coronavirus pandemic, directing that disaster funds be used to help reopen schools, requiring people wear masks on planes and buses. And remember, Biden's also trying to make sure that in his first 100 days, that they administer 100 million doses of the vaccine to Americans.
Yeah, and we've also heard some reporting that the Biden administration may be starting to acknowledge now that even that goal that he had telegraphed for so long during the campaign of 100 million doses by the first 100 days may be very difficult to achieve.
Yes, we're hearing from individuals within the Biden administration concerns not only sort of about what the current status is as far as getting the vaccines out there, doing testing, but also just this new strain of the coronavirus that's coming as well. You remember when the Trump administration tackled the coronavirus, they very much left it up to the states, to governors, to local officials to figure out exactly what was going to happen. Biden is now trying to federalize this process, kind of bring more control in at the national level.
And we've also heard President Biden appeal for unity in his inaugural address and in the event that replaced the usual balls last night. How long do you think we're expecting that tone of unity, that appeal to unity, to last in the realities of political Washington?
We were already seeing a number of moderate Republicans come out and oppose Biden's $1.9 trillion proposed coronavirus stimulus plan. They're concerned about the additional cost of spending that much money when Congress just passed a $900 billion plan back in December. And so these are Republicans like Senator Mitt Romney, Senator Lisa Murkowski, that the Biden administration was hoping would sign on to the bill to make it bipartisan. So definitely, you know, negotiations ahead. Discussions to be had. This doesn't mean that the Biden administration isn't going to get Republicans to work with them, but it does mean that it's going to have to, like most other legislation in Washington, go through a process of conversations and negotiations before we see a final product.
Yeah, I know that we're at the beginning of that process of negotiation, but are we starting to hear some signals from within the Biden administration on areas of compromise that they may be looking to pursue?
And I think the Biden administration was hoping that coronavirus stimulus was going to be an area of compromise, given that the disease is still infecting tons of Americans. I mean, just the other day, we hit the marker of 400,000 Americans that had died from this disease. Biden's also looking for other areas where he can find bipartisan compromise. I think a lot of that will become more clear as he begins to discuss things with the Republican leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, and the new majority leader of the Senate, Democrat Chuck Schumer.
In our last minute here, and of course, Biden still has the process of getting his cabinet appointees confirmed, particularly at the cabinet level itself. We've only gotten one so far.
So far, yes. Avril Haines was confirmed yesterday as the director of national intelligence. There are a couple of issues with other nominees. They all need certain waivers because it hasn't been long enough since their military service to now their nomination for the cabinet. There's been some particular issues there. And number one, just the Senate has been very busy. I mean, there's been the insurrection in the past week. There's been partisan tensions. So unlike a lot of other presidents that get to come in with their cabinet in place, the Biden administration is having to wait longer to get top officials really through the nomination process and into their positions.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, know it's been a very busy time for you, and it sounds like it's going to continue that way into the new administration. Thanks for taking the time with us this morning to give us an update on all that's going on from the nation's capital. Taking a look at the markets ahead of the open on Wall Street this morning. More gains on the horizon here, perhaps, with S&P futures right now up 8 points, Dow futures up 42, and NASDAQ futures on the rise by 55 points. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Biden capped off his inauguration day with remarks from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial last night and called on America to unify.
America's story depends not on any one of us, not on some of us, but on all of us, on we the people. That's the task before us.
And now he's issuing another flurry of executive orders aimed at fighting the pandemic. Just this morning, the president announced plans to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost vaccine and testing supplies. He'll create a national testing board and require masks on buses, trains, and airplanes. President Biden also said the U.S. will rejoin the World Health Organization.
At the same time, the president's push for another round of stimulus is coming up against opposition from Republicans. And Bloomberg's Emily Wilkins has the very latest from Washington.
We have seen a number of moderate Republican senators say that they have concerns about passing a $1.9 trillion package after the Senate just passed a $900 billion package a month ago. They're concerned about the debt, about the deficit, about pumping too much money into the economy at this point.
And consideration of the president's stimulus package could also be complicated by impeachment proceedings.
Twitter is taking action on human rights in China. The social network has locked the account of the Chinese embassy to the U.S. That's after a post that defended Beijing's policies in the western region of Xinjiang, where China is accused of forced sterilization of minority Uyghurs. We get more from Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner.
These are tweets, and this is language that seems to be having a real impact on the world in terms of real world harm, right? We hear Facebook and Twitter talk about that all the time and saying once you cross the line and start committing real world harm, that's when your tweets get taken down.
The move could complicate efforts to reset U.S.-China relations under President Biden.
Let's get to the pandemic now. Another grim milestone, a new record for global fatalities, daily deaths surpassing 17,500. Bloomberg's John Tucker is live with more. John.
Well, Nathan, President Biden's team is increasingly worried the pandemic is spiraling out of control. Vaccinations are lagging and a more transmissible strain is emerging. The U.S. death toll now stands at 406,000. But there are signs of hope. The weekly fatalities are forecast to dip in about a month. Just over 17 million vaccine doses have been administered so far. That's according to the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures up 53. And straight ahead, we have a check of your local headlines and a look at sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. The Senate has confirmed President Joe Biden's nominee for Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. The vote for confirmation was 84-10. She is the first woman to oversee the nation's spy agencies. Haines pledged during her confirmation hearing that she will never let politics affect decision-making in the collection and use of intelligence. Three new Democratic senators have been sworn into office, giving Democrats the majority in the Senate. The Senate is now split 50-50, with Vice President Kamala Harris as a potential tie-breaking vote. Harris delivered the oath of office to Democrats John Ossoff, Raphael Warnock, and Alex Padilla. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
And as the majority changes in the Senate will do business differently. The Senate will address the challenges our country faces head on and without delay, not with timid solutions, but with boldness and with courage.
Three National Guard members on a training flight were killed last night when their helicopter crashed in a farmer's field in western New York. The Black Hawk medical evacuation helicopter crashed in Mendon, a rural town south of Rochester. Monroe County Sheriff Todd Baxter.
We had a Black Hawk in the middle of Mendon go down with three great Americans on it, so keep them in your minds and your prayers.
The FAA said it would take part in the crash investigation. New Yorkers earning $100 million or more could face up to an additional 2% surcharge on their personal income tax for the next 3 years. That's according to a draft budget legislation released yesterday. Police made multiple arrests after a group of protesters stormed downtown Seattle yesterday, hours after President Biden was sworn in. They broke windows, burned a flag, and tagged walls with words like "abolish everything." Seattle police spokesperson Valerie Carson.
We, of course, respect people's right to free speech, and we want to let them voice their opinions and be heard. But we need to find that balance in protecting the safety of the general public as well.
Police say a group of about 150 protesters carrying anti-Biden, anti-police signs marched in Portland, Oregon streets last night and damaged the headquarters of the Democratic Party of Oregon. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower has a Bloomberg Sports Update. John.
Thanks, Nathan. Kyrie Irving's first game in 2 weeks. He sat out seven games for what he termed a needed pause, and while he was gone, the Nets acquired James Harden. So last night in Cleveland, the first time that Irving, Harden, and Kevin Durant all played together. Durant scored 38 points. Irving had 37. He played a career-high 48 minutes. Harden had 21 and a triple-double, but the Nets didn't play much defense, especially in the second overtime and against one Cavs in particular.
Sexton out front against Green. Sexton steps back, three, there's another one! Colin Sexton, an absolutely incredible display of long-range shooting. Cavs by 11, 142-131.
Cavs radio, the call. Cleveland won at 147-135. Colin Sexton drafted by the Cavs with the pick they got when they traded Irving to Boston. 42 points. He had 15 in that second overtime. Same two teams will play again in Cleveland tomorrow. The Knicks play tonight at Golden State. While Tom Brady's still going strong at age 43, he's playing Sunday in his 14th conference championship game. Other older QBs are calling it a career. Drew Brees widely expected to, and Phillip Rivers made it official at age 39. 17 seasons, all but one with the Chargers this past year with the Colts. Rivers says he now wants to coach high school football at the same school where his father coached him. Houston Astros, having lost George Springer to Toronto, were able to re-sign another free agent outfielder, Michael Brantley. Free agent pitcher Trevor Bauer, who just won the Cy Young Award, said to be at least in talks with the world champion Dodgers. John Stashower with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, what are you watching this morning?
I'm taking a look at Apple, Nathan. The shares are up a bit more than 1% in early trading. The iPhone maker plans to introduce a virtual reality-focused headset as soon as next year. That's according to people with knowledge of the matter. They said Apple's headset would be more expensive than competing products such as Facebook's Oculus and Sony's PlayStation VR. Also looking at Travelers, and the shares are basically unchanged at this point. That said, the insurer is in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and it's due to report fourth quarter earnings in the next 20 minutes or so. Profit fell 4% based on analyst average estimate in a Bloomberg survey, and revenue may be little changed.
All right, we got some more earnings to keep an eye on ahead of the bell as well, right?
Yeah, we do. Union Pacific will be out in about an hour and a half or so. The railroad, little change as well. Now, the company came out with preliminary fourth quarter results on January 8th. An efficiency gauge known as the adjusted operating ratio was better than analysts expected. We'll also get the results after the close from one of its peers, CSX. In the meantime, United Airlines is down 2%. The carrier posted a wider loss than analysts expected for the third straight quarter. United said this year will be a transition, and it doesn't expect pre-pandemic profit margins to return until 2023. In the meantime, we've gotten results from some regional banks, KeyCorp among them. That's a standout because the shares are higher by 2%. Fourth quarter profit and revenue at the bank exceeded estimates. You've got M&T Bank up 0.5%. Fourth quarter earnings beating projections. Truist Financial also up 0.5%. Profit last quarter topped estimates by the most since the company was created in a merger of BB&T and SunTrust in 2019. You've also got Fifth Third's results out. Banks basically little changed at this point. PayPal Holdings higher by 1%. The online payment company was raised to buy from neutral BTIG. Now, the firm said cryptocurrency trading by PayPal's customers may add $1 billion to annual revenue by next year. And Alcoa lower by 1%. They came out with the results late yesterday. But really, it's about the forecast. The aluminum maker said higher costs may hurt earnings this quarter. And that outlook counted more than a fourth quarter profit that was well above analysts' projections.
All right. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson with us this morning, taking a look at some of the names moving in the pre-market. As for markets as a whole, more gains for futures contracts. The S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 51, and NASDAQ futures higher by almost 52 points. One other story of note to watch this morning, Citigroup is reducing bonuses for dozens of top executives. That's after the bank was reprimanded by regulators last year. Federal Reserve and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency criticized Citi for failing to maintain risk management and other internal systems. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are climbing to records on optimism that fiscal spending will revive economic growth and bolster corporate earnings. S&P futures are edging higher after the gauge posted its best first-day reaction to a presidential inauguration since at least 1937. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 54, NASDAQ futures up 52. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.08%, yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 40 cents at $52.91 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $4.40 at $18.74.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2145 against the dollar. British pound 1.3729. And the yen is at 103.41. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Biden is issuing another flurry of executive orders aimed at fighting the pandemic. The president announced plans to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost vaccine and testing supplies. He will create a national testing board and require masks on buses, trains, and airplanes. President Biden also says the U.S. will rejoin the World Health Organization. Dr. Anthony Fauci made a virtual address to the WHO's executive board meeting in Switzerland after the reverse of the previous Trump administration's position. Fauci admits there's a long road ahead.
We realize that responding to COVID-19 and rebuilding global health and advancing health security around the world will not be easy.
In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Cavaliers in double overtime, 147-135. The Celtics lost, the Warriors won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Five drivers of markets in the Biden administration. I'm Barry Ritholtz, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. What matters more to stocks? High prices or higher fiscal stimulus? This is not an abstract question, but the core of the debate between bulls and bears. Last year's CARES Act put $2.1 trillion in stimulus in the economy. It created a massive economic response. Personal income rose over $1 trillion, 8% more than the previous year. Savings rates rose, credit delinquencies plummeted, retail sales recovered and then soared above pre-pandemic levels. The giant fiscal response not only averted another Great Depression, it once again reconfirmed that John Maynard Keynes has been right all along. The 2021 markets are likely to be driven by the Biden administration's stimulus plan also. I'm Barry Ritholtz. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's now 6:50 on Wall Street, and time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include President Joe Biden opening his era with a plea to end what he calls the uncivil war, the new president ramping up the COVID fight with new orders, and former President Donald Trump's impeachment trial still on hold as Democrats take Senate control. Also making news, that plea for unity from President Biden may be forgotten as the new White House girds for fights. Let's get the very latest now from Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And specifically, Kate, we're starting to see resistance from some Republicans when it comes to stimulus.
Yeah, I think that what we saw yesterday was some skepticism specifically from Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski, who are two of the most moderate Republicans in the Senate, and they expressed some skepticism about the $1.9 trillion economic relief package that Joe Biden is pushing. I think that, you know, we know that the Senate's divided 50-50 as of yesterday. It's in the control of Democrats, but by the narrowest possible margin. And so getting anything done, even if they do, it's possible they'll try to do portions of the COVID relief plan by a budget process known as reconciliation that allows for a simple majority vote. So there would only need to be 51 votes. But even with that, it's possible they'll need to get some Republican support. And the, you know, skepticism we're hearing straight out of the gate from people like Murkowski and Romney is making that look not very likely.
So how far is the Biden White House signaling it's going to go before it triggers that reconciliation process?
Well, if they don't go the reconciliation route, that would require 60 votes in the Senate. And so that's obviously a much heavier lift. And so that might mean that, you know, the Biden camp has to jettison some of the less popular aspects of its plan. But, you know, to do something like raising the federal minimum wage, which is part of what Biden has proposed, raising it to $15 an hour, that is something that, you know, budget experts say likely is not going to be able to occur via the budget reconciliation process. And so, you know, I think that this is where the horse trading may start to begin at even an early stage. Some Republicans have suggested that rather than move it as one big package, they could break it up into smaller packages. And that could be something that the Biden administration starts taking a look at. In terms of a way to logistically at least move something across the finish line that might have broader bipartisan support than something with a $1.9 trillion price tag.
Well, even before some of that horse trading begins, we're really seeing President Biden take a lot of unilateral action just this morning once again through executive actions aimed at the pandemic specifically.
Specifically at the pandemic, and we did have some reporting late yesterday that indicated that, you know, there's a lot of concern among the Biden camp about the incoming administration now, about the degree to which the virus is spreading in the U.S., that it might be, you know, reaching a point where it's really going to be hard to come in and, you know, create an inflection point where things start moving in the right direction. So against that backdrop, we see a number of additional executive orders this morning that were announced that deal with the pandemic, including requiring that people who travel on airplanes and in airports wear masks. That comes on the heels of a federal mask mandate, which applies to federal property that we saw Biden sign into law yesterday, or sign as an executive order yesterday. So, and then also there would be a quarantine for people arriving in the U.S. from international destinations, international arrivals. There would be a quarantine that would be federally enforceable. So I think that those are some indications of the type of things. And then there are also a slew of non-travel related items that deal with streamlining vaccines, upgrading testing, and bolstering the supply chain for medical equipment. And so those are the types of things that we know the Biden administration is looking at. He's always said that, you know, doing that, addressing the pandemic is going to be his top priority on day one. And I think we're seeing that put into action now.
And in the meantime, of course, we still have the overhang of a Senate impeachment trial for former President Donald Trump. Have we gotten any indication yet of when Speaker Pelosi plans to send the article of impeachment over and trigger the trial?
I think there's a bit of a sense that Democrats maybe were caught a little flat-footed by the fact that they are actually in control of all the levers of power in Washington right now. It wasn't clear until after the Georgia runoffs on January 5th. And, of course, remember that the next day was the Capitol Hill riot on January 6th. It wasn't clear until then that Democrats were going to control the Senate. I think a lot of folks thought it would still be in Republican control. And so that's a bit of a way of explaining why I think there's still some question about exactly what the timing and mechanism is going to be here for conducting the Senate impeachment trial, because Democrats definitely want to do that. But at the same time, they don't want to take away from these other legislative priorities that we've been discussing. And so figuring out how to thread that needle, I think, is what they're doing right now. And so the short answer is no, we don't have a whole lot more insight into how this is going to work. It's still pretty much in limbo. But those are the reasons why.
All right, Bloomberg Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always for keeping us up to speed on what's happening in Washington. And you can read more on all the developments at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It's 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Two large studies give a sharper picture of which inherited mutations raise the risk of breast cancer for women without a family history of the disease. Doctors say the results published by the New England Journal of Medicine can help women make better decisions about screening, preventative surgery, or other steps. The American Cancer Society estimates that 276,000 new cases of breast cancer were diagnosed in the United States last year. The new work suggests at least 13,000 of those occur in women with inherited gene mutations that raise their risk of developing the disease. California says it's safe to immediately begin using a batch of coronavirus vaccine doses after health officials urged a halt to injections because several people fell ill. The decision frees up more than 300,000 doses of Moderna's vaccine to counties, cities, and hospitals struggling to obtain supplies. California has the second highest COVID-19 death toll in the country behind New York. And Amazon is offering to help the Biden administration accelerate the distribution of vaccines, including to its own employees. Amazon says its contract with an occupational health provider to administer shots at its facilities. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Futures this morning are rising. S&P futures up 10 points. Dow futures up 68. NASDAQ futures up 58. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 1.08%. Straight ahead, it is Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.